Now, I spent yesterday afternoon hearing all about a whole lot of the fabulous new book releases that are coming our way in the next few months and some of the authors that we hope we'll be able to bring onto the show in 2020. But today, I'm so glad to finally be able to flag one of last year's releases. I only had a chance to get to it in the December holidays, and I'm sorry I waited so long. The author, Tracy Farran, will be no stranger to our audience. I think many of you loved her novel, Whiplash. I know many of you loved the adapted movie version, Tess. Reminded that that book was shortlisted for the Sunday Times Fiction Prize. And like Tess, Tracy's latest book, The Book of Malachi, is a story of the marginalized, of the overlooked, and of the voiceless. In this case, the literally voiceless, because her protagonist, Malachi, has no tongue and literally cannot speak when we meet him at the start of the book. And yet he does have a voice, and it's a voice that is going to stay in my head for a very, very long time, one that is filled with warmth and humor, but also sadness and a lot of soul. The novel is called The Book of Malachi. It's published by Quella Books, and it is going to linger with you long after you've turned the final page. Tracy, it's so lovely to finally have a chance to get you into studio to talk about it. Welcome.
Thank you, Pippa. Thank you very much. Yeah. Hi, everybody.
Physically voiceless, but of course not without a voice, because we have access to the inner world of the character. He's the narrator of the story, even though we don't have the kind of dialogue with other characters that you might expect from a typical book. Malachi is, can we say, the perfect man? He's somebody who listens more than he speaks, which is quite unusual. And that listening really is what changes everything for him. Now, I don't want to give away too much of the plot for our audience, but will you sketch for them where we find him, who he is at the start of the novel?
Okay, so Malachi is a victim of civil war, and he's been disabled or handicapped by a horrible incident. And he is, when we meet him, very disconnected, grieving, and he has secrets. He doesn't communicate. He doesn't want to communicate because he's only really barely half alive, emotionally very cut off. And he is offered an incredible opportunity. A huge pharmaceutical company says, Malachi, come with us. We want you to work amongst murderers and the kinds of people that are very similar to the ones who destroyed your life and maimed you. We're going to use them to excellent ends. And in exchange for your work, we will graft a new tongue for you. So Malachi gets this chance to become whole again. He gets this chance to become alive and to re-enter the world, to engage again. He has huge hopes and dreams. It's no secret to say, it's no spoiler to say that he ends up in the deep sea on a rig, on a defunct, abandoned oil rig. And his expectations and his reality diverged horribly from there.
Mm. I mean, it's something that's sticking out from what you just said. He gets the chance to become whole again, thinking that it is the missing tongue, which is what is missing from him and making him less than whole. And you realize as you read this book that the tongue is only really a small portion of what is missing and broken in Malachi, that is kind of the most obvious sign of a much, much deeper seated trauma and those secrets that he's keeping. And you say that he has deliberately cut himself off. I mean, he has refused to learn sign language. He has refused to let the people around him know that he actually is literate. He can read and he can write. There's no reason he couldn't be using assistive devices to be able to speak. He has chosen to cut himself off entirely. And we learn as the book goes on perhaps why he's done that and what is going on in his head about how he feels about himself and his past. And as you say, he's offered this opportunity then to be transported into this place which seems like an offer of hope and becomes anything but. An opportunity for transformation for the character. But what they ask of him is not what he can do. Tracy, they ask of him to be exactly who he presents to be in the world, to be, a mute man with no history, who cannot tell their secrets, who will not engage with the prisoners because he can't speak to them, and will be the perfect employee because he can't tell anything if he sees something wrong, and he can't have any power of any sort because he is so at their mercy because of what they offer him. Talk to us a little bit about the journey of transformation he undergoes there.
Yeah, I mean, they want him. They choose him very carefully because confidentiality is the most important thing about this job. So if he speaks, he's out of there. But much worse than this, he finds later. And then he is the perfect candidate because he won't. He's heavily prejudiced against these people. He walks in there full of hatred and blame. because they are very much like the people who have ruined him and ruined his family. But he finds that he needs to realize that more than anything, he needs to communicate and he needs to remember and he needs to go deep into the shadows. He thinks that they're incredibly evil and he's incredibly good when he walks in there, but he finds out that he has a huge conscience sitting there, and only through them can he mine through it, because they speak to him all day long. He has no choice. He has no choice. He has to listen. Mm. And the process, his memories are triggered. So it's very hard to talk about this book without giving away too much.
Oh, the plot, yes.
But yeah. And the thing is, it sounds incredibly dark. It's dark. It's hell of a dark, but it's incredibly good news, ultimately. And Malachi has a sense of humor, thank goodness. That's very disparaging and wry. And that carries you through his interactions because, he's amongst people who've done some hectic things.
And I mean, what is fascinating to me, and I think it is a particularly challenging for a South African reader with all we know about the crime we live with and how we feel and fear the people who commit it. Malachi goes in there thinking these are the dregs of humanity. These are inherently purely evil people I'm going to be working with. As he hears their story, he starts to recognize their humanity, to recognize that they made choices, bad choices in some cases, but to understand the context in which those choices were made. He recognizes that perhaps some of them are in fact innocent and shouldn't be here at all. None of them should be here at all because of the circumstances they find themselves in. Some have been misunderstood. Some have been driven to crime by really difficult situations. It is, when I say it's challenging to a South African reader, because it asks us to look for humanity in a criminal, which is a hard thing to do in a country which battles with the level of trauma that we do on a daily basis.
Yeah, it's controversial in that sense. It's a hard, it's a difficult, very difficult thing for us to do. I think people from overseas can do that excavation with far less defenses. Mm. But they're brave readers who pick up this book. South Africans need to be brave. We need to be brave to live here. We're all suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder to different degrees, obviously. And this book is actually asking us to go and, okay, settle into the presence of some baddies, like the people across the robot, the neighboring township or the neighboring suburb, who has murdered his three children, who has done this or done that. I'm talking, I shouldn't just say he, because there's some fantastic female antagonists in this story. So it's asking to go in there and just hear what they have to say. And it's not about forgiveness in the way that we assume forgiveness to be. Mm. We assume forgiveness to be like this. You've done something horrible, and even though you've done something absolutely dreadful, I forgive you. For me, I don't know how that's possible, that anyone can do that. With the TRC, it was a mysterious, miraculous process. And in the South African TRC process, I think forgiveness was very much much more complex than that. Mm. The forgiveness that came out of that was only made possible by perhaps an understanding, some kind of insight into the baddie. So in a way, reading the book is like a bit of a personal TRC. Mm. And it's not saying, okay, I'm probably talking too much now, but it's not saying, okay, let's forgive these guys, let's be kind to these guys. It's not saying that at all. It's saying remove them from society. If they're really dangerous, of course, remove them from society. It's saying that. And then it's also saying, Please just try and understand that they arrived in the world as beautiful, smiling babies, like all of us, who all they ever wanted was love, okay? That does not excuse what they've done. But just recognize that. And if in our present justice system, if the things that they've done don't come to justice, and very often we know it doesn't, it absolutely doesn't, just understand that they are married to their victims, and that they need to work this out. They need to work this out. They need to, in some way, communicate with their victims in this life or in the afterlife.
As the book.
So that's the form of forgiveness that the book is talking about. So it's not as terrifying and impossible. It's not such a hard ask. But I went into the book, I wrote the book because I thought it was impossible and I wanted to investigate. So I sent Malachi in.
To do the investigation for you.
Yeah.
And it's Malachi who comes to this recognition that ultimately someone needs to treat these people like human beings and recognizes that the fact that they are being treated like caged animals, and we won't say more than that, is not right and is not something that he can live with. Very dark subject matter, but as you said, it is a book that ends on a note of hope, despite, and I don't want to think all the ribbons are tied up and they're happy endings for everyone, because there aren't. But it is a moment of hope, and it's hope from the form of the little guy. It's the man with no voice who steps into the role of a hero of sorts, recognizing how uniquely unsuited he is to that role, struggling with himself all the while, knowing what it means to him in terms of personal cost and loss, decides to reach out. I won't say more than that, but it does end on a hopeful note. Lucy on the SMS line asking, what made you imagine such a difficult character? Was there some spark of inspiration for the story?
You know, I think it was really the experience of living in the crime capital of the world. I was living in Fishhook, of all places. I ended up living in Fishhook. It felt like not through choice. I was living in the back of Fishhook on a blind rise. I was very cut off from my sense of what the world should be. There was not much happening there. And I was hearing about atrocities committed really close by, all around in the country. It was the beginning of the crime wave, the latest, most intense crime wave in the last few years. And then I was doing The Course in Miracles, which is this beautiful book that gives you a daily meditation about how we're all one and we're all made of love and we definitely share the most beautiful common source. And I thought, no, how could I possibly share a soul with that guy who's just done that?
Yeah.
And Fishhook people hide away. They used to in the old days when I lived there a few years ago. It's become a lot more sort of representative of our country and a lot more integrated. But it was white, it was pretty old, and it was conservative and very quiet. So I just had to go and see. Okay, I had needed to send somebody in to find out what could I possibly share. While I'm hiding away from the world with these, you know, behind these curtains, behind this Vibercreed wall, with all these people who are also hiding, let me go and really check out if there's a way of integrating or not, because it feels like there isn't, with people who've done shocking things. And I was surprised. I was really surprised with what the character came up with.
Okay.
That was my inspiration. I think living in Fishhook. That's the short answer. Thank you.
Probably not the answer somebody was expecting, because somebody else was asking whether the Book of Malachi in the Bible was inspiration. Now, I was intrigued, and I know the answer to the question from my research. The answer is no. You didn't actually know. I think you might have at some level been aware of the existence of a Book of Malachi, but you didn't know what was in it to any deep degree before you wrote this book and gave it the title, did you?
Yeah, no, I have to say, I'm actually quite horrified to say that I actually didn't know that it was the last book of the Old Testament. Apparently the darkest as well. I found out afterwards, after I'd written it, after we'd named it, after it was published, I think, or in the final stages of publishing it. And I love the parallel, actually, because it was the last book of the Bible, and it was where God was saying, guys, if you don't get your act together, I am going to visit such horrendous punishment on you. And the Book of Malachi that I wrote without any awareness of that that parallel says, guys, if you don't get your act together, you are going to suffer. It's going to be sore. And don't think you can throw off people that you've hurt. Because you, in some way, you're going to live together until you reconcile. And it's saying, and you know, you're behaving in the most horrendous way, but you've just forgotten who you really are. So in a way, the message, I'm sorry to the very devout Christians, and we might get phone calls after this, but in a way, I don't know if that's what the Old Testament was saying, because I don't know the Old Testament at all, but my conception of it tells me that the Book of Malachi, the novel, contradicts the main message in the Old Testament.
Okay. It's intriguing. So, thanks for asking the question and reminding me to go there with you. Just before we run out of time, I have to ask. I mean, I know you personally wrote the screenplay for Tess. Whiplash became the movie Tess. Are you going to adapt Malachi for screen? And if so, do you already have in your mind who is going to play that character?
You know, I would love to, but there's interest from a really good production company in England, and they probably have their screenwriters in mind. So I'm not sure if I'll be writing it.
Okay.
And before I wrote the novel, I actually had a feeling that I might not be the scribe for the script. I'm really keen to move on to something lighter.
Okay. I can understand that. Okay, but I'm really glad to hear that there is interest, because I think it would adapt very well, and it would make a formidable psychological thriller of a film. So I, for one, will go and see it if and when that happens. In the meantime, I hope our listeners will go and read it. So the Book of Malachi is still in bookstores. I'm a couple of months late in post-launch in getting Tracy into studio. So glad we finally had the chance. Tracy Farron is the author. It's published by Quella Books, in stores now. And the year is young, but so far definitely my read of the year into the month of January. I'm so glad I finally got it, and lovely to have had you on the show with us today.
Thank you, Pippa. Thank you.